The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now, weekly edition of Vox Screen Stocks, John Heumann. You all right, John?
Yeah, not too bad, Justin. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm hot. I said to a previous guest, I said, my office is a bit like the market. It's literally, it's either very cold or very hot, and because it's just a conversion job. But I've got to shut the doors because next door they're using a chainsaw to chop down trees. And so it's either a lot of noise or a lot of heat. it's a bit like the market, a lot of noise, a lot of heat, or a lot of cold. But exactly. Yeah, I mean, it was still in the dull. I'm starting to think, you know, I probably said this, repeat myself, but I'm thinking that this sort of bear market's going to drag on for a bit, and I'm talking about months, you know, not weeks, because inflation is it's not going away for a while, and we need to see. I did see a nice chart actually. This guy saying, you know, the yield curve inversion. When that's happened in the past, the Fed has had to reverse their policy on tightening, you know. So and there is some forecast now for that happening in 2023, the Fed coming back from, 3.25 or 3.5, lowering its rates. So that may give some, guidance to the market. And also, there's this term, peak hawkishness. It's gone from peak inflation now. People saying the market may not turn on peak inflation because we may be seeing that, commodities rolling over, to peak hawkishness. Basically, when will the Fed realize they've gone a bit too far, you know, and then have to roll it back. So I think we may have to wait a bit longer than we think for the markets to rally. But if you're sitting in cash like you are, it's fine. Just more chance to research, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you're right. I think this is going to rumble on for some time. I mean, we're hearing mixed signals about what the Fed might do, but I think you've got to look at Europe as well.
Yeah.
And what's going on there. It's a bit of a mess. And, you know, they're a bit behind the curve on their tightening cycle. And, you know, we're already seeing some really sort of nasty economic figures, economic signals coming out. It looks like it's a horrible situation all round. So, yeah, I'm in no hurry to do much at the moment.
Yeah, well, I did just tweet out about saying, you know, that right now the euro, $1 is now worth, 20-year low. It's equally $1 pretty much on parity. And I said, you know, which would you prefer to hold, a euro or dollar? And in my mind, it's a dollar because if you look at America, okay, maybe slowing down, but it hasn't got the troubles the eurozone has got. Because in America, you know, you've got, they are an oil producer, you know, they're pretty much self-sufficient there on oil. They may have some consumer worries because that makes up a big part of their economy, of course. But the euro, when you look at the problems they have, they're all reliant on Russian oil and gas. If we're heading to winter, there's a big problem there. Already Germany, the biggest economy in Europe, is telling people to switch off lights. They're telling people not to run hot water so much. They're switching off heated swimming pools, all this kind of stuff. That will have an inevitable slowdown on the economy. And so they're heading towards a bit of a storm here. They've got, you know, a massive war in the middle of Europe, which is affecting all supply chains and food, of course, wheat, corn, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, if you look at the two, I prefer to hold the dollar rather than the euro, definitely. I just think the dollar, of course, it's the global standard. But beyond that, the economy, the American economy, it seems on a more sure footing than the eurozone, economy, in my mind, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the dollar's at a 20-year high. Mm. I think you're right about Europe. I mean, we had some figures, the ZEW Business Confidence Survey today. I mean, it fell to minus 50. It was expected to be, minus 25. So, I mean, things are really going from bad to worse on the continent very, very quickly. But the trouble with a strong dollar is, of course, that, you know, that makes buying anything from the US more expensive, and you know they do export a lot of stuff. So
So
you know there is an earnings rich risk potentially attached to the strong dollar, and I think we're seeing, you know, earnings risks rising all round. We had some really horrible retail figures out, you know, sales volumes from the UK, sales volumes collapsing. Really?
Yeah, it was below pre-pandemic levels, and I think consumer spending fell for the third month in a row. I mean, I think no one's untouched by it globally. It's just looking for the who's not as bad, you know, just that kind of thing, that scenario. Who's not the ugliest out of every economy? And I think if you're comparing, you know, euro with dollar, I think the Americans are probably not going to fare as badly as Europe, you know. But anyway, let's get on to the screener. So this week's screener, it's called Momentum Screener. What's the criteria here, John?
I said momentum is basically, it's the idea that if you buy things that are already going up. And you know, this is, it's not without its critics as a system. You know, it sort of came into its own in previous periods of very hot markets, of bull markets, and it's worked really well for quite a long time as a strategy. Simply buy the companies that are rising fastest on a 3-month basis, and you'll beat the market. They will continue to do better. That momentum carries them forward. Yeah. I mean, the problem with it as an investable strategy, of course, is that you have to chop and change your portfolio every 3 months potentially. So the actual dealing costs of trading momentum are quite high. Although these days you can buy sort of synthetic ETFs that allow you to do the same thing. So it is possible to trade momentum as a strategy. It has worked. The other problem with momentum, of course, is that it works until it doesn't. And you know, this is perhaps what we've seen with certainly a lot of hot stocks, a lot of highly rated stocks over the last year or so. You know, really, really, really took off, you know, during the pandemic as there was a rush into sort of quality. So we saw a lot of ratings, you know, really, really motoring higher. And then this inflation threat's come along and it's literally stops a lot of these shares in their tracks. So you know, there's, as I say, two problems with momentum: the actual cost of trading it and the fact that you just don't know when momentum's going to stop. However, I thought it was quite interesting to look, given we're in a pretty horrible bear market that looks to get worse, what's been rising? We know that we've had some sort of, value's been doing well, oil, that sort of stuff. But I wondered if it had extended further than that. So this is what we're going to be looking at today. So it's basically risers on a 3-month basis. I also wanted to see companies that were delivering positive earnings growth. So, you know, not just speculative rebounds. So I wanted to see earnings rising last year and forecast earnings to rise as well next year by a minimum of 10%. And I've just filtered the list between to a market cap between 10 and 500 million. So keep it small and see what we can find.
Yeah, do you know what? I went through the list. I missed one that I would have gone with. I've gone with another one now, but I didn't realise. Anyway, do you want to go first? Me.
Well, tell me, what did you miss? What did you miss?
Well, I there's a company that hasn't IPO'd long. It's called, I don't know how you pronounce this. They put two words together, energy and agua. So it's Enagua, ETP is the company. And I've looked at this on my sort of weekly webinar on my membership club there. And they're a provider of specialist energy and water efficiency solutions. And they're really in a hot area, bringing, you know, sort of companies or public institutions down to net zero and all that stuff. But looking at their results for the full year to 31st of January, the 148% top line growth from 14 million to 36, operating profit up 278% to 4.4 million from 1.1. And just looking at the price earnings on that, I mean, I don't know where the share price is now, I'm basing this on a few weeks back, I don't know if it's risen, but literally, you know, price earnings 22. Operating profit and revenues are 8. Yes, I mean, EBITDA 13, but their margins are very good and they're growing very quickly in hot space, recurring sort of revenue. I do like them and I've covered them on the webinar, but I've been looking at another company. Have you heard of them? Because they're quite newish.
No, I haven't. I mean, it's quite big as well, 88 million market cap. I mean, it definitely sounds like it's in a sweet spot. I mean, that's going to be in focus, energy and water efficiency for some time. We've actually covered quite a few companies on Vox that are in a similar area and seem to be doing very well at the moment. And, you know, like I said, I mean, it's sort of similar to momentum. You get a hot story. And it can carry shares along, and you know, I do worry about hot stories sometimes and when the sort of tide will turn, but in this, you know, this particular subsector, this particular focus, I think it's one that's gonna endure for quite some time, so I think it's definitely worth another look at that.
But I like energy as well, but in my mind there's two sectors that, and when I look at the hot stock, I want trends that are mega trends pretty much, not just short term trends, and I suggest short term trends like COVID testing companies, that was a very hot short-term trend. And you could have made a lot of money in that trend if you got in early. But a lot of losers in there as well. You know, the losers way outnumber the winners. But this, when you're focusing on high energy costs, which is going to be around for a while, first and foremost, but also getting to net zero, that's around for next two, three, four decades, probably. It's a huge trend that's going to continue to pay out. And so, you know, and it's got regulatory backing where companies have to reduce their carbon footprint. So that's why I like, you know, Energua. It's not good. Energy in Agua, basically. So they've also got IP there, the control flow, which is a family of products which reduce water wastage and improve performance of heating and hot water systems. So it's very applicable, very relevant, not just today or next year, but in the next 10, 20 years, you know. So I like that a lot. And I think I may have gone for that. But I've also been, the one I'm going to go for, and I do like microcaps, is Journeo. Do you know about Journeo?
I don't, no.
Okay, well, let me explain what they do, because if you catch a bus or train these days, you'll see the LED sort of displays showing when the train's coming, all that kind of stuff, on the bus stops, but also the back-end software for that and controlling it, IoT stuff. Well, Journeo sort of supply that to the public transport and all that stuff, and they've got sort of two parts of their business. The fleet operator solutions, that's CCTV, video surveillance on the buses, trains, driver safety. They also do telematics for vehicle and driver performance. Passenger transport, this is another part of it. Passenger transport infrastructure solutions like design, manufacture, installation and management, hardware and software, so the people operating these systems can keep a check on everything, you know, data points and all that stuff. And I like it because it's a software as a service business. It took a hit, obviously, during COVID, where everyone had to work from home because they weren't using public transport so much, but it's bouncing back now. And like I said, so they've got software as a service. So when you've got an economy that's, you know, unsure, you need sort of surefire, you know, guaranteed revenues pretty much. And that's why recurring revenue, I think, is very good. And so looking forward in today's, if you're looking to invest in companies, I think it's very important to try and get guaranteed revenues there somewhere. So these recurring revenues are quite good. And just looking at their figures, let me just get my spreadsheet up here. So they did, it's only a small cap. I mean, what's the market cap? It's about 10, let me just go back to it. They're about 10 million. Yeah, 10 million. Yeah, EV about, they've got a little bit of debt, 10.8. But their revenue for this year, when did the year end? Let me quickly fire up that. The year ended on the 31st, oh, December. So December end date, 31st December 2021, went from 13.6 to 15.5, so 15% growth there. Operating profit up 68% to from 348k to 585. So as yet, but the value metrics, you know, aren't compelling at the moment. So the price earnings is quite high, so 25. But if you look at the comment, they're on my watch list at Vox, so Vox will, you know, ping you anytime an RNS comes out. And if you look at their financial results, they've pretty much done sort of 5-6 contracts since then. One of which is of note is they've got a £9 million framework agreement based on software as a service. This is over, 3 years? And it's expected to generate £9 million and includes an option to extend term by a further 2 years. And they've got a lot of these happening. Just go down, and you often see that when a company, it's nice to look down an RNS feed and see, you know, contracts being awarded. And they're regularly, you know, updating these contracts. Like I said, they are recurring. So they're not just, you know, it's not just a one-off and they drop off there. But so that's why I like them. And I think, if you look at the chart, they haven't really done much. I mean, the slight worry is the margins aren't high, but I'm sure they'll get better as time goes on with recurring revenue. So the gross margin of 40, operating margin at the moment is 4%. So it's not huge, but they're not loss-making, and they've got cash there, you know, to get on with. So I just think that sort of safety of recurring revenues and constantly winning contracts, and also quite decent. I mean, you know, 3 million if it's over 3 years, 9 million over 3 years, so 3 million in 1 year, for example, that's quite significant when the top line is 15 million, you know. So, yeah, so that's why I like Journeo, and I just think, you know, software service, recurring contracts, and it seems to be winning contracts a lot. So that's what I guess. So worth doing a bit of research. Where's the chart on this? Like I said, it hasn't really gone bananas. It does go up. They've got some, I didn't read up on it, but they had some convertible loan notes in there, not a huge amount. I don't know if they're still there, but that would explain the spike. So they get a contract, like in April, that 9 million one, and it rose from 115 a share, pretty much, to 140. Next game came back down to sort of 115. And so sometimes you see that when convertible loans happen, people sort of tend to convert them and sell into the market when the share price rises. So I don't know if that's the reason for the volatility. But as yet, if you look back, I mean, it did have a nice rise. In fact, you know what? Again, one of these stocks that's the opposite to the AIM All Share chart. You know, the AIM All Share is going down from top left to bottom right. This is the other way. It went from 55 pence, pretty much, in February 2021, and now they're at 115. So it's against the flow of general AIM traffic. But, worth just keeping an eye on. JNEO's ticker there. Check it out.
It sounds interesting. And again, that's what I think the purpose of this screen is to find companies that are bucking the trend. I mean, the three-month momentum, you know, as you say, it's not huge. It's up just under 1%, but that's better than where a lot of companies are over the last 3 months. So that's the kind of thing we're looking for.
So they've had two there. So I'll also say, you know, put ETP in there as well, Enerakua, because they're in a hot space, growing very quickly, and again, generating cash. So there's two there for you, but take a bit. I may have gone for, it's a bigger than I normally look at, but I may have gone for Enerakua. Just change your name, guys. That's not a good name, Enerakua. It doesn't really, you know. Anyway, but what's your pick? What are you going for?
Well, I noticed that one of my sort of favourite picks, we spoke about it a few weeks ago, though, so I didn't go for it again, because it's Begbie's Trainer.
Yeah, I saw that. There's a few like that, as they're coming out. I think we've seen, which changed his name now recently, but Paul Hill's talked about them a lot, but Load, Crestric, you know, it used to be Northbridge Industrial. I'm sure that's come up before.
It has.
Record has come up before as well, REC. There's a couple on there, Usual Suspects. So, so Begbie's is on there again. So, cool.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go for it. So I'm going to head down the market cap scale like you, and I'm going for a company called DSW Capital.
Oh, okay. DSW Capital. Never heard of them. So, what are they all about?
This is the wonderful thing about stock screening. So it's actually a new one to me. So I saw it there and, you know, it looks 25 million market cap, up 8% over the last 3 months. Pretty illiquid, but, you know, that's often the nature of small caps. Forecast PE around 13. So, you know, not massively expensive. Thought, okay, what does this do? So basically what it is a franchised accounting business.
Okay.
And it trains.
Do you know what? That's so boring. I like it already. It's like that's the kind of thing you need to go for. Franchise is like, you know, I mean, I like that. It's like boring companies like that. Go on.
It's got the best combination of boring you could possibly want. So accountancy, franchising, you know, this is the kind of thing I'm after. So it trades under the name Dow Schofield Watts. And basically that's the three names of the ex-KPMG corporate financiers who set it up.
Yeah.
And their idea was that they wanted to create a vehicle for former partners or, you know, accountants at sort of large accountancy firms with a platform to go out and start their own businesses. And using this franchise, that's what they're doing. So basically what they do is they allow startup accountancy firms to use their branding in exchange for a license fee of, I think it's about around 15% of revenue. The licensee keeps 80, the licensing accountant takes 85% of revenues they make. But Dow Schofield Watts or DSW keeps that 15%. And as you can imagine, this translates into a business with extremely high margins. I mean, they're virtually, gross margin is 100%, operating margin is 74%.
Wow.
You know, it only floated in December, but if you look back over the figures, I mean, it's not huge at the moment. So turnover this year, 2.4 million, but that's translating into a pre-tax profit of 1.6. So you can see, you know, the sort of platform qualities, you know, that you expect in sort of something, you know, the sort of Right Moves and Auto Traders. you know, that conversion of sales into profits is absolutely, you know, fantastic. It's also the kind of services that I think are going to be in demand right now as well. So, you know, we're talking things like, you know, normal accounting services, but corporate finance advice, you know, M&A advice, tax advisory, due diligence, debt advisory. You know, some of these things that you would expect in a sort of slightly tough market, companies are going to having to be spending a little bit more on accounts, either as they sell their businesses or as they try and restructure them as times get a little bit difficult. You know, it's doing wealth advisory as well. You know, lots of people trying to look after their money at the moment. Equity finance, we know that there's lots of companies that are likely to be having problems with cash flow. So, you know, raising money is something that, you know, there's going to be a lot of demand for. So the company has 20 of these partners so far, 20 licensee businesses, 88 fee earners across the country. And yeah, I just like the numbers. And, you know, it's got one broker, which is Shawcap. I mean, massively undercovered, massively overlooked. You know, the kind of returns on capital, you know, that you really would expect from something that's essentially such a low overhead business. I really like it.
Well, it's funny that I went on the website just now, Dow Schofield Watts, and of course, James Dow, first name in the title there, is the CEO. He's been, right, if I'm a CEO, I'm going to be the first name in the title. But I'm looking down there on the people there, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, they've really got over 100 people on their site about people. How have they got so many people? Is that part of the license out, or the people they work with, or what? Because there's loads of people there. Unbelievable.
I've absolutely no idea. I would assume they are the fee earners through the partner businesses.
Yeah, hopefully that's not going to the administrative costs, because that would be huge.
I doubt that very much.
Because the margins are good, yeah.
The margins, you know. This is a low overhead central office business. As I say, making its money through licensing this brand to franchisees, and getting a share of their fees in exchange. And yeah, as you would also expect, you know, going back to what you were talking about with Journeo, that means it's recurring revenue. This revenue is coming in every year. So you know, you look at the forecasts from SureCap, and it's just up and up and up and up and up. So yeah, that's my pick, DSW. As you rightly point out, Justin, I'm becoming really boring as this financial crisis, which, you know, financial and economic crisis, which you could argue that it's sort of morphing into.
Yeah.
I just want companies that have what it takes to survive in a tough environment. And I do think the sort of accountancy services, restructuring type businesses are those companies.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's 120 people. On the thing there, it was phenomenal. But I mean, like I said, with those kind of good margins, I don't see where that's coming from. There must be the earners there. But yeah, it hasn't really done a lot. It seems 16th of December, didn't they? They IPO'd, and I think around about £1, £1.9 or £1.10, and it's still £1.16 now. So it hasn't. In fact, on the initial, how do they do that? The brokers and like get that out there, because it went from £1.10 or £1.8 up to £1.28. And then obviously some people have been dumping, right, quick profit, get out. And it went down to £1 then. But it's rebounded back to £1.16. So definitely, I've hit the follow button on that. I like that a lot. Like I said, there's only a limited amount of news there. So maybe look at the admission document to see what's happening there. But yeah, it seems quite promising. I like that. It's good.
Good.
By all means, listen, if you're, you know, you can find the screener and all the stocks on that screener on the website there. And like I said, if you've got one to suggest, a screener with criteria you like, please let us know and we'll go through it. Thanks for that, John. Catch up next week.
No problem. Speak soon, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.